Session number 10419.
Reel 1.
Brigadier May, Reel 1. What are your early memories, Brigadier May?
Well, I was the son of a country doctor in Ware, Hertfordshire. And my first memory, literally my first memory, is of the Potter's Bar Zepp coming down. My father took me down to see it, and he said, you'll always remember this, which I have. And the second was going out in a car with him. He had petrol as a doctor, and in a field, an aircraft came down, a fighter aircraft, from North Weald, which was about 20 miles away, and he gave it 2 gallons of petrol, or the pilot, and he got back on that. And the third memory is of the daylight raid, which was, if you remember, of aircraft, and they apparently were coming up to me, King Edward's Road in Ware, and I waved my Union Jack, and at that moment they turned round, and I thought I'd done it. I then went to Halebrough, which was a local school, and in 1927, and then I went to Royal Military College Sandhurst and got a regular commission in the DLI in August 1931, the 31st of August. In 1933, I'm sorry. I was commissioned into the DLI and joined the 1st Battalion at Catterick about the 1st of October. A year later, we moved on to Aldershot Command, and we were stationed near Deepcut, and we were then an experimental machine gun battalion. And I always remember my first regimental dinner when an old man got up and said, "Machine guns, almost a supporting arm." And we were always the forefront of the battle. And as a result, we didn't become a machine gun battalion and became a normal line battalion, rifles and that sort of thing. And then I went on a signal course in 1937 and became a signal officer. And on the 15th of October 1937, we sailed for Shanghai in His Majesty's transport, Dilwara. And we arrived in Hong Kong, in Shanghai, I'm so sorry, on the 25th of November 1937. At that time, you were trooped at 13 knots, and you were rationed accordingly. Shortly afterwards, in about August, the 1st Sea Force, with whom we had an old connection, making us honorary members of the officers' mess and sergeants' mess from the frontier days, came up in a county-class cruiser, proceeding with dispatch, which meant they traveled rather faster and used far more fuel. They were billeted in the race course, and I well remember the first time I went in, I demanded a mess bill, and I had one as a result of our old friendship. In October, the Sea Force went back to Hong Kong in the Lancashire, His Majesty's Transport Lancashire, Bibby Line. And then it came back and took us to Tsing Wan Tao, en route for Tsin and Peking. We stopped on the way at the Kailan Mining Association, where they gave us a slap-up meal, and then we went on. And we remained there until December 39, when we moved the families to Hong Kong. And this is important because later I had one of the sons of a chap called Machin, who said, his mother had said to me, this wasn't, he was to say to me, I was commanding the 1st Battalion after the war for the second time, and he said, mother said, this isn't the first time you've been under my command. And I can't remember whether Machin was dead by then or not, but he was a well-known cricketer and footballer and played for the battalion in those days. We sailed from Hong Kong on the 6th of January 1940, and after landing at Suez, went on to Geneva. At that time, if you remember, of the five companies, two were commanded by majors and three by captains. Before we went to the desert in July 1940, I took over A Company, which, as the first company, was always the leader. And on arrival in Merzimatru, there was an air raid, and I think two chaps were killed, not in my company, by good fortune.
How did you feel about facing an enemy in action for the first time with the war now on? Did you have any feelings at all?
No, I didn't have any feelings. One had been brought up to be a professional soldier, and as such I hadn't got married before the war because I imagined my life would be very short, and well, I'm lucky enough to exist now. We then went to Sidi Barani, where we took over a whole lot of prisoners who were from the San Marco Marines, who claimed they had been in Shanghai with us, and so expected preferential treatment. So we just packed them into trucks, their own trucks, which were diesel, and told them to get going down the road, putting one soldier in each truck as an escort with fixed bayonets. And they drove themselves into the bag with no trouble at all. They were most cooperative, the WOPs. Could you switch it on?
Michael, you continue, Brigadier?
In 1940, we were moving forward again, and we got as far as Sidi Barani, but we were told there were some very secret ships coming in, and we weren't to question them. And of course they were Chinese river gunboats, and all the soldiers were asking which gunboat it was. And these particular gunboats had 6-inch guns mounted, fore and aft, two. And later we went up to Hellfire Pass, and one of these gunboats came into Saloon Bay, which is below you. And I knew they'd got 6-inch shrapnel because we had loaded it in Merzimatru a few days earlier, and this particular gunboat engaged an Italian battery, which was stupid enough to knock its topmast off, and it was like a swarm of bees over the battery, and the battery pulled out pretty quick. because they obviously had a lot of casualties. We then went forward, and the Italians had got as far as Sidi Barrani and the camps around there, and we drove them out, and they went back, and
you went to Capuzzo, Brigadier?
Yes, in about May 1940 we attacked Capuzzo, and it was very interesting because we started in a dust storm, and we advanced in trucks, and then we got fired on, and we bailed out with fixed bayonets, and we advanced 1,500 yards across open desert, and I can only assume they didn't put their sights down because all the bullets were going over our head until we got close, and then they were bound to hit. And
these were Italians you were attacking, were they?
They were Italians, Italian gunners, and I was very surprised because a gunner with whom I crossed bayonets parried my point, and having done bayonet fighting, which was a useful thing, I forced a corps, and then turned round to one of the soldiers and said, fix this bloody wop, and he plunged his bayonet in and said, got him, sir, at the moment. And then the Germans arrived in tanks, and we found it really very difficult.
Did you have any anti-tank weapons to deal with them?
Well, we only had the boy's anti-tank rifle, and we had no anti-tank weapons, and all our tanks had been knocked out. We had the old I tank, and then at last light we were able to withdraw, and so the tanks had withdrawn, and so we were able to withdraw back, and to the top of Hellfire, and then we went on and arrived in Bardia, and it was about this time that the 6th Australian Division came up the road, and they were all singing a tune, Way Over the Rainbow, which I remember. We said, what's that from? And they all said, The Wizard of Oz. Haven't you seen it? It was in Australia before we left. And so we said we hadn't. And then
had you lost very heavily at Capuzzo, your own company losses?
Yes, we'd my company sergeant major had a bullet through both shoulder blades.
Do you recall his name?
Oh, yes.
To where it'll come back. So you'd had very severe losses, and it had been a very tricky situation there.
Well, it was quite ridiculous. We were supposed to take on the Italians, and then the Germans arrived in tanks, and I lay for some hours in between two tanks, not daring to move. And then they withdrew, and so I was able to get out later, as I've already said. And then we went forward to Bardia, as I've related.
When you pulled out of Bardia, Capuzzo Brigadier would move back and obviously take on replacements?
We moved back to Sidi Barani, where we got into cattle trucks which had brought goats up for the Indian Division, 4th Indian Division. And they were full of fleas. This I can remember very well. And then we got back to the Delta, where we got some reinforcements from the Essex Regiment, as we had done left. And then we went round to Syria for the 1940 campaign. We went through Palestine, and then we arrived in Mirjayoun. I was the leading company, A Company, and we moved forward across an old French artillery range, and this was very difficult because they knew every mark on it, and then we got to we moved through the Bekaa, and we got to beneath Hermon, and we got Mount Hermon, and we got to
were you under artillery fire at Mirjayoun Brigadier?
Yes, we were shelled to a certain extent, and it was then that I saw one of the last cavalry charges in history. There were the Greys, the Cheshire Yeomanry, and the North Somerset Yeomanry formed a squadron of each, formed a composite force called Todd Force. And at Jazin, they met some French spies, and apparently they did the classic action of going through them and wheeling about and coming back. And I always remember seeing them in Mirjayoun coming up the track, and the officers were wearing beautifully cut boots and breeches, and the soldiers, the troopers, it was quite ridiculous. One of them had a a bandage round his head and blood seeping through, just like the boy's own paper. And as an officer passed me, he flicked the dust off his boots with a silk handkerchief, which I thought was very different from the Western Desert and what I'd seen. And then we could see French black men in the trenches above us, and we were shelled, and we hadn't got any guns in support, and so I used an artillery, a French 75, looking through the barrel, and fired a few rounds back, not very effectively. And then we went forward, and we got to Brumana, which was where later I served with the headquarters of the 9th Army. And there was a barman who said his name was Georges, like the English patron saint, and he gave me rather more to drink than I was ready for. With my I dived on a rock in the Litani a few days earlier, and so was not feeling very much like anything, and I had a bandage round my head, and there I met, as he then was, Major Hackett, later serving with the Transjordan Frontier Force, later Sir John Hackett, who is well known on television. And
would you describe the armistice situation, Brigadier?
Well, then the armistice occurred, and the best place to eat was at the French Club, and so that you could you weren't taking sides, the easiest way was to sit in between the Vichy cads and the Free French, who wouldn't speak to each other, and one had to be neutral. And so this was the easiest way.